This podcast homily is produced by the Anglican Internet Church. It is the second of seven podcast homilies for Epiphany season. Welcome to the second of seven podcast homilies for Epiphany. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These seven homilies for Epiphany are hosted on our Podbean site and linked from the podcast homilies page at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Each episode is focused on one of the ways in which Jesus Christ manifested or will manifest himself to the broader world. The appointed epistle reading for today is from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. St. Paul's verses were chosen, I believe, because they reinforce the concept of the unity of the church as one body under Christ, offered to the entire world. I commend to you the New King James Version translation of the final two verses. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The appointed gospel reading for today is St. Luke's glimpse of Jesus' childhood, found in Luke 2, verses 41 to 51, traditionally known and depicted in art and stained glass under the title Teaching the Doctors in the Temple. In the companion blog post to this podcast homily, you will find two examples of how the scene is shown in 19th and 20th century stained glass windows. You can visit my blog site directly at https://www.anglicaninternetchurch.wordpress.com, or you can use the link on the homepage at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. If you follow my blog post by clicking the Follow tab at the bottom of the page, you will automatically be notified of all new postings. This reading from St. Luke's Gospel is the only glimpse in the New Testament of the period between Jesus' circumcision on the eighth day after his birth and the beginning of his ministry in Galilee as an adult. I discussed the same reading in the video series Reflections on the 12 Days of Christmas on the theme of family on the seventh day of Christmas, December 31st. A link to that video is found on the digital library page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. St. Luke shares with us an event which occurred when Jesus was just 12 years old. As St. Luke told us earlier in chapter 2, the Holy Family had accepted the obligation under the Mosaic law of having the child circumcised on the eighth day, and further, the obligatory purification of Mary on the 40th day after the childbirth, which is the feast celebrated each year on February 2nd. In the modern practice of the Jewish faith, this incident in Jesus' 12th year is the rough equivalent of the bar mitzvah, the ceremony in which a boy comes of age. The Holy Family had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and after the feast had ended, Mary and Joseph and their traveling party, which St. Luke calls kinfolk and acquaintances, headed home. They had been on the road for a full day before they realized that Jesus was not in the entourage, which suggests it must have been a fairly large group. When his absence was discovered, they turned back to Jerusalem and sought him out. And they searched the city for 2 whole days with no result. But on the 3rd day, perhaps symbolically prefiguring his 3 days in the tomb, they found him in what I am sure was the last place they expected to find their missing 12-year-old son, that is, in the temple. The temple as it existed at that time was King Herod's massive complex built upon the much smaller base of the second temple built by Zerubbabel after the return from exile in Babylon. You should recall that Zerubbabel is mentioned in St. Luke's genealogy of Jesus in chapter 3. Luke says that they discovered him, quote, sitting in the midst of the doctors. The term doctors does not mean medical doctors as in the modern sense, but the wisest and most important scholars and priests and scribes of the church. In the stained glass window depicting this scene at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel, Richmond, Virginia, by Franz Mayer of Munich, all the doctors are looking toward Jesus, who is at the center of the scene. In the stained glass window at the National Shrine of St. Francis of Assisi in San Francisco, possibly a design by F.X. Zettler or another artist who worked in the Munich style, only one doctor is shown. Again, you can see both images in the associated blog post at www.anglicaninternetchurch.wordpress.com. St. Luke tells us that Jesus was, quote, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. St. Luke also reports that Mary was confused about what had caused Jesus to do this thing, and she asked him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Jesus replied to Mary in verse 49, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" This is often taught as meaning that Christians should regularly attend church, just as Jesus was there in the house of his father. But I think the intended meaning was something else. That is, that Jesus, having honored his greater obligation to his Father in heaven, is shown by St. Luke afterward as being obedient to his earthly parents, honoring the concept of family with parents and children. And St. Luke reports that even having said to the Blessed Virgin that he was about his Father's business, he willingly returned with them to Nazareth, where, according to St. Luke's account, he subjected himself to his earthly parents, thus honoring the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother. St. Luke also tells us in verse 50 that neither Mary nor Joseph understood the meaning of his visit to the temple. We also know from St. Luke's narrative that the Blessed Virgin, the woman chosen by God among all others, owing to her righteous life and her obedience, kept this issue in her heart. It's Luke 2:51. Keeping something in the heart, in both the Hebrew and Christian traditions, is not a reference to the organ that pumps blood through the body, but a reference to one's innermost being and consciousness. As I mentioned in the podcast homily for Epiphany, the name Epiphany comes from several Greek words, each of which means to shine forth, or in one case, to light itself. As Christians, we recognize, as Jesus himself said in the Gospel of St. John, he is the light of the world. And as St. Luke and St. John both observe, he is the light that shines in our inner darkness. At this time of the year, I'm always reminded of Lutheran pastor and poet Johann Hermann's early 17th century hymn, O Christ, our true and only light, which I included in the St. Chrysostom hymnal at my former parish, using a 19th century translation by Catherine Winkworth and sung to the long meter tune, Breslau. I offer that song here in lieu of a closing prayer. O Christ, our true and only light, illumine those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear thy voice, and in thy fold with us rejoice. Fill with the radiance of thy grace the souls now lost in error's maze, and all, O Lord, whose secret minds some dark delusion hurts and blinds. And all who else have strayed from thee, O gently seek thy healing be, to every wounded conscience given, and let them also share thy heaven. O make the deaf to hear thy word, and teach the dumb to speak, dear Lord, who dare not yet the faith avow, though secretly they hold it now. Shine on the darkened and the cold, recall the wanderers to thy fold. Unite those now who walk apart, confirm the weak and doubting heart, so they with us may evermore such grace with wondering thanks adore, and endless praise to thee be given by all thy church in earth and heaven. Thank you for joining me for this podcast homily for the first Sunday after Epiphany. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.